Welcome to the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Axel Ragnarsson, and on this show, I dissect how seasoned multifamily investors started, built, and scaled their businesses. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another quick solo episode here on the Multifamily Wealth Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be introducing a new format to the show, and this is going to be something that I'll be looking to do in future episodes, maybe not every week, but maybe once a month we'll introduce this type of episode into the podcast rotation. But in this episode, I want to answer some questions that I received on Instagram, and we can call this kind of a Friday feedback type of episode. I still got to nail down the title, but it'll probably be something similar to that. And I'm just going to run through a few questions that I get on Instagram that I think are relevant to a large percentage of the listener base. They could be anything from current events related topics as it relates to what's going on in multifamily. Can be related to how we run our business, can be very simple, individual, kind of tactical questions, maybe around underwriting or how to think about a certain decision as it relates to the multifamily investing process. But fundamentally speaking, I think this will be a nice kind of change of pace for the podcast and will allow me to talk about a lot of different topics in a short period of time. And I think that'll be helpful to a lot of the folks listening. So in this episode, I'm going to run through three questions I got on Instagram in the last week. And the first one that I got is relating to how we actually manage the infrastructure and the organizational components of our multifamily business. So this question is more geared to like, what are you doing behind the scenes as it relates to keeping everything together as you're going out there and offering on a bunch of deals and putting a lot of deals under contract and working through closing, coordinating transactions, due diligence, all of that stuff, and actually getting deals to closing. So first things first, let's discuss what we use from a tools and a resources standpoint, because I think this is going to be a really quick answer. And I think people expect there to be some larger, fancier answer to this. But really, as it relates to acquisitions, transaction coordination and due diligence, post-closing asset management, and then investor relations with our investors, we're only really using a handful of resources. And the first one that we primarily utilize and just most broadly utilize is just Google Drive. You know, we have a shared drive for our whole business that we have a number of different folders in, both related to general documents for the Align Real Estate Partners business. And then we have, you know, property folders, we have, you know, hiring and onboarding folders, we have marketing folders, all that stuff. But Google Drive is just a very easy platform to use, so we still utilize that. Where it gets a little bit fancier is we leverage Monday.com, which is a project management software tool. Cost effective, and it serves our purpose. And primarily what we're using it for is to create transaction checklists so that when we go under contract on a deal, we can copy a transaction checklist and rename it for that particular deal that outlines everything we need to do to get one of our typical deals to closing, both as it relates to a lot of the steps along the way from an entity creation standpoint, bank account creation, sourcing insurance quotes, you know, sending the deposit to the title company, like all of the different things we have to do, it's outlined. And there's also a section in there for due diligence where we can start working through all the due diligence items for a particular deal as well. Then we also have an area in within our Monday that's kind of a property board where we have basically a list of all of our properties, of our all of our different entities, and then some information about those properties, close date, loan balance, you know, link to the Google Drive folder, link to our asset management sheets, you know, who the lender is, and just a bunch of other key information there as well. And we also have a knowledge base within Monday.com that we use to create how-to videos for everybody internally in our team. And then if we need to access that for external folks, you know, if we want to share, you know, video regarding our portfolio, our resume, we kind of leave that in there so we can quickly grab that link and send it to lenders or investors. And that's really where we're starting to build out the back-end infrastructure from a training and a knowledge standpoint for our business, really primarily for internal hires. We have an information depository in there as well that has links to a bunch of key Google Drive folders. And the great part is a lot of these things can work together, right? When we create a transaction checklist or copy one for a new deal, it comes preloaded with all of the videos linked in that checklist to our knowledge base with how-tos on how to perform specific tasks so that myself as a business owner can start to delegate some of that work to other individuals within our business. So that's really where we start to get a little bit fancier. And then the other big thing we use is InvestNext as our investor relations and our investor management portal. We're at the size now where we just absolutely need a solution like that. So, you know, that's how we keep everything together from a deal standpoint, a distribution standpoint, tracking investor capital accounts, all of that. And then on the acquisition side, and I maybe should have started with this because it's toward the front end, I think a lot of people know that we love ReSimpli as a CRM, both for our direct-to-seller work and then also for trying to maintain decent broker relations and relations with other relationships, I should say, with other individuals in the marketplace that may be bringing us deals. And then lastly, from a marketing standpoint, we're using ActiveCampaign for email marketing and sending out newsletters and deals to our list and all of that. So that's really the high level of what we do. And it's not necessarily much fancier than that. And I'm not going to go too deep into it beyond that because I think that sufficiently answers the question. But it's just, we've just built it over time and iterated over time. And there's no perfect way to do this. We just got to a business size where when you have 20, 30, 40 individual buildings within your overall portfolio, because we do a lot of scattered site, a lot of smaller deals, you kind of need a place to go to access the information for all of these deals. And really, that's monday.com and Google Drive. That's like 90% of where we're spending our time. And then, obviously the investor relations side occurring on InvestNext. So moving on to question two, which is another very quick one. Received a message on Instagram the other day talking about how do I actually close on a commercial loan or how do I secure a commercial loan if I don't have any experience as a commercial real estate investor, as a multifamily investor? Really quick answer. You either go get experience, right? So you either got to go do deals yourself with hard money loans, private money loans, what have you, and build a resume, or you just need to bring somebody in that does have the experience that's going to also sign the debt. There's no other way to do it other than that. And the way I did it was started building my personal portfolio of smaller properties, 2 to 4 unit deals, using hard and private money to get them under contract and then refinancing with local bank debt. And then as I developed a portfolio and grew a portfolio and had some experience to point to, it was easier to go get that 8, 9, 10 unit loan, for example, because I already had a bunch of 3 units and duplexes and 4 units under contract or closed, I should say. So go do smaller deals, go get experience, go build your resume on that side. Or if you want to cut the line and you have a great 20, 30, 40 unit deal, what have you, and you really want to get that closed, but you don't have the experience, you just have to bring somebody else in. That's the only way to really do that. Lastly, I'm going to talk a little bit about some creative acquisition strategies. Always getting a version of this question. What are you doing right now to find deals, right? That's the broad question. And I can quickly answer that one, which is we send direct mail, we cold email, we cold text, and we build relationships with brokers and deal finders. It's not rocket science. We just do a lot of it and we do it at scale, and that's fundamentally how we're finding deals. What I will say, though, something that we've recently introduced that's maybe more of an interesting topic to discuss is we've been going into the markets that are at a higher likelihood of having distress, right? We were Florida investors for a couple of years. We did 4 deals in Florida, sold 3 of them. And we still own 1 down there. We have a 48 unit. And we kind of put the brakes on, or we pumped the brakes as it related to sourcing Florida deals really in mid-2022. So about 18, almost 2 years ago now. 18 months ago, 2 years ago, because of the fact that the insurance market was in total flux, we really didn't feel confident in our underwriting. Being out-of-state investors, the fact that we're based in Boston and we mainly do New England deals, didn't really have the level of confidence we needed to really aggressively pursue deals. So we just hit pause and we just focused in our backyard, and up in New Hampshire. So now we're starting to, we're starting to realize that there may be more opportunity from a distressed seller standpoint, which is really our bread and butter. So we're starting to actually go down there and look for deals. And we're really aggressively marketing to lists of properties that were bought in the last 3 years, which is usually the inverse of what we do. We usually exclude properties acquired in the last 3 years when we're marketing for deals, because it's unlikely that those owners are going to have any level of motivation, are going to be able to sell at a discount, or they have really any equity, right? And I think that's the big thing, is we need to find owners with equity in order to achieve a below market deal, to secure a below market deal. But in Florida, it's kind of the inverse of that, where the people that have bought in the last 3 years are probably dealing with a situation where they've completely misunderwrote their insurance costs. They're probably getting a little bit more stressed out about rates. Cap rates are expanding a little bit faster in that market, just generally speaking, very broadly speaking, than they are, for example, in New England and a lot of the areas we buy in New England, which are much more stable and supply constrained. So we're doing a little bit more marketing to that list to actually identify sellers that may just be willing to let it go and want to move on from a deal that's been a pain in their butt, versus trying to absolutely maximize sales price, right? Which is usually the type of seller that we're dealing with. And that's normal. That's what sellers are supposed to be doing in the normal course of a real estate market, or in the normal, when a real estate market is operating normally. So with that being said, we've started doing some marketing to this list in Florida. And we're starting to see our response rates increase for those types of deals comparatively to deals that we've previously marketed to down there, which are more primarily long-term ownership situations. You know, another little interesting piece of information about Florida, and I saw this on Twitter and I forget who tweeted it, but if you draw a circle around the coastline of Florida, basically from Sarasota up past, you know, Tampa, Clearwater, and, you know, basically it's a 2.5 hour driving stretch. And I think you can draw the circle really anywhere on the coast of Florida. That same little circle, right, which is a very small portion of Florida, really only includes a few major cities. You know, you got St. Petersburg, you got Tampa, you got Sarasota. He might have drawn it down to Fort Myers. I can't remember. But that little circle, when you're pulling single family listings, had the same amount of listings that contain the word motivated as the entire state of California. Obviously, the entire region of California being exponentially larger in population number or just deals on the market, properties on the market, than that little segment within Florida. So it goes to show that there's just so much motivation in Florida right now, both on the single family side and on the multifamily side. And it's really driven by the insurance market, right? I think a lot of people bought single families and multifamilies. Their insurance costs went up 300%. And homeowners are just like, I don't want to pay this anymore. And multifamily owners are like, this is unsustainable. And there's really no roadmap to me making distributions to my investors or to myself if I own it just by myself. So there may be a little bit more motivation as it relates to cutting ties, especially now that we've sat in this market for 18 months, almost 2 years, as it relates to the insurance market collapsing in Florida and rates just running through the roof. So that's a little bit of that's a little tidbit of something that we're doing behind the scenes. You can pull that list very easily on a list source, a Reonomy or a CoStar. And I highly recommend you sprinkle that into your marketing if you're in one of these markets where you see a little bit more distress as it relates to people that bought property in the last few years. So highly recommend you sprinkle that in as well if you're marketing directly to sellers. But those are the three questions I wanted to address in this video. So we talked about how we actually set up the back end of our business from a tools and resources standpoint. Signing commercial debt if you have no experience. A little bit of what we're doing on the direct-to-seller side. Obviously, in other episodes, I probably go into these topics a little bit more in depth. But this is an episode, or this is a type of episode that I think I'm going to sprinkle in a little bit more often within the podcast rotation. And if you enjoy this kind of structure, reach out to me on Instagram with a question. At Multifamily Wealth, shoot me a DM with a question. I'm going to start filing them away over the course of a few weeks and then addressing them in this format. So if you'd like to submit something that you'd like me to talk about on the podcast, reach out on Instagram and I'll be sure to put it away, and maybe that makes it into one of these future episodes. And I think the more tactical and specific the question is, the better, because it allows me to run through kind of my thoughts on it in a few minutes. And I think that's probably going to be the best format for this type of episode moving forward. But long story short, if you enjoyed, please leave the podcast a rating and a review, and I will catch you guys on the next episode.